Anti-war protest is a familiar phrase to Americans, but lately a new phrase, pro-war protests, has been used to describe demonstrations supporting the Bush administration's policy toward Iraq. Fresh Air's linguist Jeff Nunberg has these thoughts on the evolution of the word protest.
Sometimes a social change can announce itself in the dropping of a preposition. It used to be that when you used the verb protest to mean object to, you had to add against. She protested against her mistreatment. Then, in the early years of the 20th century, Americans began to drop the preposition and say things like, he protested the government's policy. As it happens, it was around the time that people started using protest with a direct object that they also started to think of protest as a kind of direct political action aimed at mobilizing public opinion against a particular policy. That's when you begin to see phrases like protest demonstration, protest strike, and protest movement. Or take protest march. I had always assumed that the phrase originated with the Ban the Bomb movement of the 1950s. But actually, it was first used in 1913 to describe the march that Gandhi organized to protest the restrictions that had been imposed on the Indian population of South Africa, the first massive civil disobedience campaign. Over the following decades, protest would be intimately linked with those new techniques of political resistance. By the 1930s, people were using phrases like the literature of protest and social protest to suggest the whole range of progressive agitation. But it wasn't until the 60s that the notion of protest entered the mainstream of the American vocabulary. That was the moment when songs with political messages began to make their way out of the coffee houses and hootenannies and onto the airwaves. For some people, protest music evokes the folk-inspired topical songs of Pete Seeger, Joan Baez, Phil Oakes, Country Joe McDonald, and the early Dylan. But by the mid-60s, people were using the phrase for songs like Blowin' in the Wind and Barry Maguire's 1965 Eve of Destruction, which was the first protest song to become a number one hit. Eve of Destruction's lyrics were mostly a generic plea for peace and understanding, a pretty far cry from Phil Oakes' The War is Over or The Fugs' Kill for Peace. Even so, a lot of AM stations refused to play the song, and conservatives complained to the FCC that the song violated the equal time provision, back before they learned they could live nicely without it. By then, people had begun to use the noun protest as a shorthand for a clamorous rally. That gave rise to the word protester, in place of the older form protester, which was derived from the verb. The shift in stress corresponded to a difference in emphasis. Protester suggests an individual with a specific beef in mind, whereas when you hear protester, you think of a bunch of angry people kicking up a row. By the time the Vietnam War ended, the notion of protest was losing its connection with the old tradition of social protest. There's a revealing use of the word in the 1982 film First Blood, the first and by far the best of the Rambo movies. It comes when Rambo's describing his return from Vietnam. And I came back to the world and I see all those maggots at the airport protesting me, spitting, calling me baby killer. Who are they to protest me? Granted, Rambo was supposed to be a little unhinged, but by then, a lot of people wouldn't have seen anything odd in the notion of a protest aimed at individual soldiers. It was becoming just another name for a demonstration. That's apparently all the word means to some people now, as protests are back in the streets. The other day, I saw the influential conservative blogger Glenn Reynolds referring to the growing pro-war protest movement. That took me aback, but when I hunted around, I found a number of other conservatives using the word that way. The website of the Young Americans for Freedom boasts about the pro-war protest that the group organized at the University of Michigan. Even the press is starting to pick this up. An article in the Seattle Times last week talked about the protesters at a pro-Bush demonstration who were waving signs saying, "Support our troops." There's a clueless even-handedness in those uses of protest. There's nothing odd in talking about a conservative campus group holding a protest over the university president's support of affirmative action. That may not conjure up the old notion of protest with a capital P, but it's clearly a form of resistance to the established order. But it sounds a little weird to talk about a protest in support of a war that's about to be initiated by the administration in power. Maybe it's just semantic sloppiness, as if protest nowadays was just a question of getting together to yell slogans. Why should the other side have all the fun? Or maybe it's a strategic blurring of historical memory. It's hard to keep this stuff straight in an age when the oldie stations are apt to play Barry Maguire's Eve of Destruction back-to-back with Barry Sadler's Ballad of the Green Berets, which was a number one hit a few months later. But you'd hope that protest would retain some of the sense of resistance that it acquired at the beginning of the last century. Up to now, after all, protest has been the only political action that power can't take.
Jeff Nunberg is currently a fellow at the Stanford Humanities Center. He's the author of the book, The Way We Talk Now. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.